I'm Margie Balfour, Chief of Quality and Clinical Innovations for Connections Health Solutions, and I'm an Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Arizona.
What inspired you to get into the mental health field?
I was really just interested in people's story, and there's like the opening line from Anna Karenina is kind of paraphrased as that all happy families are the same, but unhappy families are, you know, unhappy in their own way. And it's kind of like that, where everyone has a different story, and what's the point of improving someone's physical health if the life they're living is not fulfilling and, you know, a happy life for them? So that, I think, was really kind of what drove me, was improving people's actual lives and the experience of people.
How did you get involved with Connections?
After I did my psychiatry residency, I was working at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, which is the big county hospital for Dallas, and they were having some operational issues, and one of the consultants that was brought in was one of our co-founders, Dr. Carson. And I have a quality improvement background. That was my position there at the time. And he was very interested in process improvement and quality improvement. And we worked together really closely on improving the flow and the experience for psychiatric patients in their ER there, which is like the largest ER in the nation. And when Connections, then back in Arizona, was asked to take over the crisis center in Tucson, he asked me if I would do it, come out to Tucson and run that and turn it around. And he also recognized that the field of crisis was kind of in its infancy, and people weren't really, there was a need to document what we do and what the outcomes are and, you know, what our field is. And because I have an academic background, he told me to not only run it and fix it, but use your nerd brain and your quality improvement background to start to advance the field from an academic standpoint. And so, you know, that was my charge from the beginning. And so it's been really great to be able to both improve care for our actual facilities and the patients that we see, but also to be able to use that experience to help the whole crisis field as a whole.
And to take a step back, what is Connections?
So we are a behavior, we operate behavioral health crisis services. And we were founded by two psychiatrists who really pioneered this emergency psychiatric crisis service for people who really are at the highest acuity back in Texas in the 90s. And then they brought that model to Arizona in the mid 2000s and operated crisis centers there for, you know, over 15 years. And now we are expanding into other states. So we've got mobile crisis in Montana. We've got the services that we're building in Virginia. We're building a facility in north of Seattle and Washington State, Pennsylvania. And so so that's what we do, is we do crisis care.
With the expansion, how does it feel to be a part of that growth?
It's really exciting. It's kind of like a perfect storm for crisis care nationwide. I mean, we've been doing this in Arizona for a long time, and Arizona's looked at as a national model because for various reasons over the past few decades, Arizona's been building its crisis system. But nationwide, the new 988 number has really sparked this huge interest in crisis services, to have the services there for what people need after that phone call. There's a lot of bipartisan support for building out these crisis services. Police reform movements are really getting people interested in the idea that law enforcement doesn't need to be the default first responders for mental health crises, and if they are, that they need a place to bring people. So all of these things have kind of converged together so that nationally there's this huge interest in expanding crisis services. And so we're being able to be part of the process of defining that and you know, creating that across the country, which is really, really rewarding and really exciting.
What have you learned about helping children and teens with your Arizona facilities?
Well, first of all, that youth are not little adults. They're quite have a lot of complex needs, a lot of system needs. So when you are when you're doing child psychiatry work, the quote patient isn't just the youth. It's actually that whole family system. And then that family system exists linked up to other systems like the school system and child welfare systems and all of that. And so it really is a kind of a broader systems approach than sometimes you do with adults. And also that a lot of times that the time scales for the crises for the youth in crisis versus the whole family system can be different. So we may be able to help de-escalate and get a kid stabilized, but the family's not ready to be able to take them back into their home. And so then we have to look at, well, how can we continue to stabilize that youth while helping the family be prepared to be able to wrap around that person? And so sometimes placement becomes an issue where, well, they're not ready to go home, but then where are they going to go? And do they need to go to the hospital? Can we get them somewhere else besides the hospital? And so, having the ability to connect kids to, more crisis services so that we can have that extra time has been really important.
And I live in Virginia, and Connections doing amazing things for mental health here. Can you tell me a little bit about the new Chantilly Connections and then the future Crisis Receiving Center?
Sure. So the Chantilly facility it's an existing facility that someone else was running, and then we were asked to take it on. And so that is really only, if you look at what we do in our other locations of what we're going to do in Woodbridge, that's only like a small piece of the whole puzzle. But we were asked to take that on, so we stepped up and said, yeah, we would. So that is really, those are crisis stabilization beds, 16-bed unit. And these are for people who have been seen in an emergency room, for example, and need some additional crisis stabilization. And so then they can be transferred over to us to get them out of that emergency room and into somewhere where they can get some specialty care, where it's similar to an inpatient unit, where people will see a psychiatrist, they will have an interdisciplinary team stay there for, maybe 3 to 5 days and get stabilized and connected to care in the community. What we will be having in Woodbridge is our full model, where it has, where it's really set up to be like a psychiatric emergency center, where anyone can walk in for services. So it'll have 24/7 access for people who need urgent care. So people who just need to walk in and see a psychiatrist, see a social worker, get a medication refill, get connected to services. It will also have what we call a 23-hour observation unit, which is for people who would normally be waiting in an emergency room to be sent somewhere else. So these are people who may have been brought, they may have walked in, they may have been brought by mobile crisis, they may have been brought by law enforcement or ambulances or transferred from emergency rooms. And these are people who would normally be waiting to go to an inpatient unit somewhere. But our philosophy is that if we start services for them and start treatment for them early and intensely, that we can get a lot of folks can get what they need and get stabilized and be connected to outpatient care. So, people who may be suicidal or hearing voices or having substance use needs, we can have them see a psychiatrist, get medication started. They see our social workers who are working on care coordination and working with their families and getting them connected to what care they need in the community. We have peer supports who are doing one-on-one work with people or doing groups, all centered around trying to get that person's crisis stabilized. And most of them can be connected to community-based care and then go home from there or go to community care from there. But for those who need to stay longer, we will have units like what we have in Chantilly, which is for the crisis stabilization beds, where people can stay for an additional few days for continued crisis stabilization. And that will have both adults and youth in that facility.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
That's a great question, and that's something that I'm glad you asked that, because people who do this kind of work, not just the treatment work, but also first responders, often have a lot of burnout. And so I think it's really important to recognize if you're starting to get overwhelmed, make sure that you do self-care, take vacations. So I have a family vacation coming up in a few weeks. We're completely unplugged during those, which a lot in our sort of society where we're always on, it's sometimes hard to remember that you need to unplug. I try to unplug on the weekends and read for enjoyment and not always be on.
Yeah, how does it feel for you when you get positive feedback for all the work you're doing?
It's really rewarding. Working as an administrator, you tend to, you only get the complaints. So when, when we do get positive feedback, it is really rewarding. It reminds you why you do this work.
And since you have been expanding and people are talking more about mental health, have you seen the stigma of just talking about mental health lessening?
Yes, it is. Like I was saying before, it's like this perfect storm for crisis expansion. Part of that is just that lessening of stigma around mental health. I think the pandemic really shone a light on the importance of mental health. You had people talking about the isolation with the lockdowns. You had people talking about the effect that all of that had on just, quote, regular people. So it kind of normalized it that everyone's experiencing this. I think, and then the fact that I think having peers as part of your workforce, I think that lessens the stigma quite a bit, where you have people who are healthcare providers being more open about talking about their own lived experience with mental illness, even if they're not officially working as a peer. It just opens that up and makes it as something that's okay to talk about because it's a common experience that, many people have had mental health struggles.
Where do you want to see connections in the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
I like we're expanding into these different states, and I'd like to see us, be fully operating in several different states, like we're on the trajectory to be doing, and then learning from all of those different states. We've been in Arizona for a couple of decades now, and that crisis system is very old and robust. And right now, the country is learning a lot from the Arizona experience. But then, as all of these crisis services are built up in all these different states, every community is different. Every community has its own strengths and gaps, and is going to have its own creative solutions to various things. And as the field grows, I would love to see us be in multiple different states and being, oh yeah, you know what they're doing in Virginia? That's really cool. We should do that over in Pennsylvania, and what they're doing is super cool, and we should, do that over here. And then just to have this, this whole like kind of plethora of experiments going on, or innovation going on, where we're always a learning organization and helping the field grow.
How can people reach out and learn more?
So you can go to our website, which is to learn more about what we're doing in Virginia and what our current services are. So that's connectionshs.com. I was part of a group that worked on a report called the Roadmap to the Ideal Crisis System that was put out by the National Council for Mental Well-being. So you can go to crisisroadmap.com, and that is a pretty comprehensive overview of what a crisis system ought to look like. That's a great place to start if you're, if you're interested in crisis systems.